The Australian Secret Intelligence Organisation, ASIO, is 70 years of age this month. Spies. Australia, just in ASIO alone, has 2,000 of them. Nearly half of them are women. And ASIO has got together with the Mint of Australia, and they've done something that I think is fantastic fun, Loretta. They've minted a new 50-cent coin, but embedded in the coin is a code that an ASIO spy, let's call them spies rather than ASIO officers, that's way too Canberra, an ASIO spy encrypted the message into the code of this 50-cent coin for the mint using a declassified ASIO technique.
Okay.
This is fantastic fun.
What do we have to do?
Well, the deal is, if you get one of these coins, they want you to decode it, if you can. You decrypt it, because ASIO says that the current decryption methods are impossible, even with supercomputers, they say. Mm. If you can decrypt it, so what they've done is they've used, I think, Cold War era coding, and if you can decrypt it, you could win a one-off, special, once-only minted ASIO coin, which must be worth megabucks. But I reckon all the mathematics and all the mathematics boffins and the science heads and the nerds that love a challenge would be all over this. And I reckon your studio guest is someone who's into it. His name is Dr. Richard Bean. He's a data scientist at the University of Queensland. Richard, wasn't there a famous spy who had the name Bean, or was it a spy hunter whose surname was Bean?
I thought that was a World War I historian, C.E.W. Bean, actually.
Oh, was it really? Okay, okay. Yeah. I'm getting my things mixed up. Okay. So what's your academic skill? Because you've got a bit of a reputation. The producers told me that you cracked an IRA code.
Yes, I studied mathematics and computer science at university, and I got interested in cryptography when I was studying it there, so I cracked an IRA code and a code beyond the grave recently.
So are you a cryptographer, or are you a mathematician, or a numismaticist or something else?
I'm a mathematician, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go,
with a skill in cryptography.
Yep. Yeah.
Make sure you keep studying, kids. So talk us through this situation, these Soviet-era codes. Are they common, are they?
Well, the Soviet Union started using this code. It's called a one-time pad in 1928. And the reason is that out of the hundreds of different ciphers out there, this is the only one that's unbreakable, both in theory and in practice. Mm-hmm. So the conditions for it to be unbreakable are you have to choose your key completely at random, and you never use the key again. So that's why it's called a one-time pad. So there was a big project called Project Venona in the US and the UK between 1943 and 1980. They had hundreds and thousands of these telegrams sent from the Soviet Union, and they were able to break into a lot of them and read them because the key had been used twice. So it hadn't been used as a one-time pad.
And as a result, this code, excuse me, sorry, this code, you have to go to the rest, sorry.
This code, for someone who doesn't understand much about cracking codes, I don't even know, where would you start?
Oh, okay. Well, you've got 120 letters on this coin, just A to Z, and it looks like just random letters. But with the coin, when you buy it from the mint, or you buy it on eBay, now that they're all sold out.
Are they all sold out already?
Yes.
Oh.
Man, oh man.
They're going for $70 on eBay, yeah. But they were $10 from the mint originally.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
So, starting.
So the coin's this, you know, just the normal coin size, but it's got 120 random-looking letters on it. And with the coin, you get a little table explaining how to use this one-time pad encryption, and you get the key. So when you've got the ciphertext and the key, then you can turn that into plain text and mail it into the mint for your prize.
Now, so at the end of 49, these Soviet cables were decoded, known as the Venona intercepts. Are you using a similar sort of coding method today that they used back in 49?
Oh, all encryption systems depend upon these three elements, the plain text, the key, and the ciphertext. But the same principles apply. If you've got to choose your key completely at random, if there's some pattern in it, the enemy can exploit that and possibly decrypt it.
So this code was put in there by an actual ASIO officer. So I wonder whether, like there's an ASIO technique, like, you know, whether there's patterns, you know, if it's the same sort of, you know, if it all come from ASIO, you know, there's sort of subconscious patterns that organisations get into, you know, so you can say, okay, well, there's a tip there.
Oh, okay. Well, can you break into it using some method? Well, yeah, as I said, you can break into it only if two things happen, one of two things happen, like if the key isn't random or if the key gets reused. Yeah, but if you don't do that, then it's absolutely unbreakable.
So what about our own ASIO codes? How often do they use them?
Well, I'm not familiar with what ASIO uses, but...
How do we know? If you're such a great code breaker, why haven't they hired you? How do we know that you're not a spy?
Oh, my lips are sealed.
This is ABC Local Radio Brisbane. It's 6:45, Loretta Ryan and Steve Austin. Our special guest is Dr. Richard Bean, data scientist at QU at University of Queensland. The Australian Mint has released a special 50-cent coin to mark the 70th anniversary of ASIO. If you can crack the code on this coin, you will be the recipient of one only minted special ASIO coin. Fully recognisable, you know, you can trade it as currency if you want, but it'll probably be worth a fair bit. So are all your mathematics students at UQ now going to sort of work on this?
I'd rather that they looked at, you know, classical cryptographic methods that they are inspired
on to... mic, if you would, please, Richard.
Yeah, that they're inspired to... teach high school students, you know, inspire high school students to study maths and computer science behind this. But this, what you see here, it's designed to get you interested in classical cryptographic methods. So I've got a book in front of me that's Spy Catcher by Peter Wright.
Yeah.
That, you know, Malcolm Turnbull was the...
Wright, who lived in Tasmania for a while.
That's right, yeah.
Malcolm Turnbull was his lawyer.
That's right, was his lawyer. And one of the chapters in the book is about Project Venona. And it goes into quite a bit of technical detail about how they rounded up the spies in Australia and in other places based on these decrypts.
Yeah.
And there's another fantastic book here called The Code Breakers by David Kahn. It's about 1,200 pages. everybody who gets into cryptography, they really get their start by reading this book.
Do you think it'll be broken? Do you think the code will, on the 50-cent coin, the new 50-cent coin, will be broken?
Oh, well, they give you the table and the key, so yes.
Someone's bound to do it. It's fascinating stuff. Dr. Bean, thank you so much for telling us about it, and I'm sure you'll get in there and do it yourself probably. Dr. Richard Bean, data scientist at UQ. Very fascinating if you're into code breaking. Thanks so much for coming in.